We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Turkey or the field? The field would blow it out, right?
Why?
You give me.
I can't have turkey on Thanksgiving.
You can have turkey
or the field.
Or the field.
Well, give me turkey and keep the field.
Oh, wow. That's wrong.
It's Thanksgiving. It's called Turkey Day. It's not called Field Day.
It doesn't matter.
It's Turkey Day.
I thought this would be too much of a blowout.
There's a parade, and it's about Turkey Day. They don't have a parade because it's Stuffing Day.
It's going to lose like 80 to 20
well,
or maybe
worse.
Well, then
people are idiots. It's about turkey. My goodness. You plan everything around turkey.
If I had the choice between turkey or everything else, I would eat everything else. The field.
I buy a turkey one day of every year.
I can have ham, probably.
I can have ham any day. I don't buy a turkey.
You can have turkey
any
day.
No, you don't buy a turkey. I never buy a turkey except for Thanksgiving.
It's the
field.
Take
the field and have a nice day with it.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Yeah, revisiting Thanksgiving survivors of years past, you don't get the parade either there. You know, there's a parade. Not in your world. You just have nothing but a turkey. And everybody else gets the holiday and everything that comes with it.
I wasn't paying attention. I'm reading this. I'm sorry. I'm reading this story.
It was turkey versus the field. You were taking turkey.
And I took turkey? Well, yeah. I mean, it's Turkey Day.
That's what you said.
I mean, they named the day after the day after the main food item.
That's right.
I mean, it is the main food item.
That it is.
I mean, the president pardons a turkey. He doesn't pardon the field.
The turkey's name was Carrots.
Why would you name a turkey Carrots?
Great question.
You named the turkey Tom.
There might have been two turkeys.
Tom Turkey.
The one of them was named Carrots.
Tim Turkey.
Come here, Carrots.
I feel like, no, I don't know if that would be a dog name, actually. I guess it wouldn't. I would name my goldfish Carrots. Same color. I'm still finishing the article, but go ahead. You can start the discussion.
So, quick thing for you here. Tyler Dunn, friend of the show, formerly Bleacher Report, formerly all over the place, Buffalo News. He's been everywhere. And great writer, great long-form writer of football stuff. We should have him on to talk about his new website that he just launched. He's going to do long-form writing. He's got a couple of pieces he posted about Josh Allen. I tweeted this out. So it's golongtd.substack.com. And he writes about Josh Allen in a two-part series, and it's free to read, so you can get an idea of like what Tyler offers, and then from there you can subscribe from there. So anyway, in this piece, he references how close the Bills were to drafting Patrick Mahomes, far closer than anyone realizes. And he mentions that the main person that loved Mahomes was Terry Pegula. Loved Mahomes. Wanted, like, love that kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that he trusted the coach and basically, like, okay, you know, I buy into the process, trade down. He also writes that they did not know in here is that the Bills weren't aware who the Chiefs were going to take. They accepted the offer from the Chiefs. The Chiefs did not tell them who they're going to take.
But they were surmising because he gave up so much, he was going to take a quarterback.
Right. Could have been Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Who knows? But they moved down and thought maybe they could still get Patrick Mahomes. There's a little chunk here from, you know, the Bills brass decided to trade down to pick up a future first rounder with hopes that Mahomes would slide.
Yeah.
He did not. So a couple things here. I love this kind of revelation because we did kind of know this. And what I mean by that is Sal has suggested, intimated, referenced the Bills really did like Patrick Mahomes. And it's interesting because, you know, Tyler writes here about how Pegula loved Mahomes. And anytime you do this, right, you build in a certain level of, well, you know, is somebody just trying to say that Pegula knew Mahomes was going to be good after he's amazing now? And the answer to that is it is not revisionist because, you know, if you ever asked Sal about this, he'd say, like, yeah, he knew that. Sal knew that the Bills really, really were high on Mahomes. So it's not revisionist. The problem in this kind of scenario is if you say it and Josh Allen's not good, you're throwing your coach under the bus. Like, well, I trusted this guy. I loved him. You know, we didn't take him. So it kind of, I think that the story being Tyler's telling of this story about Pegula loving Mahomes and where we are is a really good indication how comfortable they are with Josh Allen right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, think about it. You're by saying this, you're saying, like, yeah, we almost took that guy. But, you know, we trusted the coach and we're in a good spot and we love our guy. Yeah. We love Josh Allen. So it was always going to be that. The Mahomes trade was always going to be, it depends how good your guy is. And right now Mahomes looks like one of the best ever.
Yeah.
But your guy looks pretty good. And, you know, if you don't necessarily have to get Mahomes-level replacement to just feel like, eh, who could have known? We still did a good job. There's a little bit of a parallel here to the Stephon Diggs for Justin Jefferson trade, right? You trade away Stephon Diggs, who's amazing. How'd that trade look? Actually, they drafted Justin Jefferson. Never mind, it's fine.
Yeah.
When you make a trade of a great player or you pass on a great player, the Sabres could have traded Ryan O'Reilly and won the trade. They didn't. You know, it's about how did you do in response? How'd you come out of it? Not just you got rid of someone great. If the Sabres trade Jack Eichel, God forbid, you know, it will be, I don't want to talk about it.
Wow, don't even, right.
But if they were to come out with a better player, you'd say like, well, hey, you know, okay.
Yeah, so, good luck with that.
Not that the Bills came out with a better player. Mahomes looks to be, again, one of the best ever. But it's an interesting kind of telling of the tale, and I just, one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up is hopefully, you know, you go support Tyler and his work and his launching of this new site. And in the meantime, it's not revisionist because we've kind of known that, or at least some people around town have known for a couple years that Terry did like Mahomes.
And for what it's worth, I mean, the two guys quoted openly. I mean, they were fired. I mean, Whaley was fired anyway.
Yep.
And Whaley's saying, yeah, Terry kept bugging us to the point, you know, like we're like, all right, we get it. You want Mahomes? Like it's a very interesting. I didn't finish it. I really would like to, but what I've read so far is very interesting. I thought, to me, actually, the one part, I'm not the kind of person, and maybe this would be different if Josh Allen was bad this year. I don't know, but I'm not typically the kind of person. I can obsess about many different things. I don't lay awake at nights going, oh man, Ryan O'Reilly, if they didn't, I try not to, cause I could really make, I have enough stuff that makes me crazy. I don't need to add to the list. So I try not to obsess over could have had Mahomes. I mean, I didn't do it the last 2 years.
Not just could have had Mahomes, but like
should have, would have, whatever. Right.
And the
traded
owner
out of
the
that
team
spot. Right.
Relentlessly right. Told his personnel people, I love this play.
And for that matter, the detail of the story includes their trip to Lubbock, their dinner with Mahomes, how much they love this guy. He's the alpha male. The pro day or whatever, the private workout was great. I mean, they, according to this, loved everything about Patrick Mahomes. Wasn't even close. The part that bugged me was they could have seen a scenario where they would have drafted Mahomes, but it was one of those things where like, well, we could take him, just not there. Because he's not 10. If he slips down a little bit, we could trade down. He slips down. We take him later in round one. Maybe he'll be there at 27. We just can't take him at 10.
Yeah.
We'll take him at 10. I mean, if you like the guy, who cares?
Well, that's the thing.
That always bugs me of, we love Mahomes. Just not at 10 because the league's going to look at us and go, 10 for him? I mean, who cares?
It is a great example of a colossal misread by the football guys. And it's one of those things about, you know, we live in an age where it's always the football guys know this and the analytics guys know this and the owners know this and the fans think this. And, you know, football likes to think that football guys always have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the Bills owner as the person that said he's a top 10 pick. And the football guys are like, what if we got him at 27, though?
Yeah. Crazy.
What a colossal misread
right.
by them. So, you know, like, whatever. It's water under the bridge. It is just so worth pointing out. It goes to, It goes to every draft class. It goes to the Allen draft class where, you know, there are plenty of people that say, oh, the analytics guys had it wrong on Elm. There are a lot of football guys that had it wrong on Elm. It's really hard to know anything about these quarterbacks.
And to your point about the 2018, in earlier in that article, he points out, I guess what Whaley had initially said to Terry Pegula was, let's stockpile picks because in 2018 there's going to be this really great group of quarterbacks coming out. And this was before, and then Pegula then says, well, I like this Mahomes kid. And then it talks about how much that he kept talking about him and put the film on again and keep watching Mahomes and keep watching Mahomes. And they pointed out, they went to Notre Dame to look at DeShone Kizer just to throw other teams off. DeShone Kizer. Yeah. They went to see Trubisky, right? We talked about Pegula went to Chapel Hill to go talk to Trubisky. So I thought it's really, I will tell you, Tyler is such a really good writer. I will tell you the one line, when he talks about Josh Allen, he wrote, Josh Allen, meanwhile, is complicated. Josh Allen is a one-man optical illusion. He is whatever you choose to see, which for sure, going into this season, I think would have been dead on because it was so polarizing. You would find people say, Josh Allen, they would wait for the first off-target pass in a highlight clip and go, yep, that's the guy from Wyoming, he sucks. And then there'd be other people be like, yeah, no, I believe in this kid. He's good. He's getting better. And he's going to be – I mean, this year, I don't know that – I mean, good luck if you think this year he hasn't made incredible strides and he's not having a phenomenal season. But I love the way he put he's a one-man optical illusion because there were so many – there was just no middle ground. Love Josh Allen. You people who are negative about him, lay off. Yeah, he's just not that good. Well, what the hell do you know about football? I mean, and it was just a back and forth until this year. But the only part that bugged me, like I said, it's not, oh my God, they really love Mahomes. That's legit. It's not that. And it's not, you know, the owner didn't want to meddle. And what Whaley talked about, they just put McDermott in place. He was in control. And you don't want your first move with a new head coach to be the owner overruling the guy you put in control. So trust the process, yada, yada, yada. There's stuff in there about how McDermott wanted to give Tyrod Taylor a chance in this whole rebuild or build of culture. It would have been a bad message to get rid of Tyrod and basically say we're throwing in the towel right away. The only thing that really oh, you got to be freaking kidding me. Loved him. Not a 10. Yeah. I hate that. Well, I really hate. Who cares what Mel Kiper says or who cares what pro personnel directors of 20 other teams will say?
The answer to that question is Doug Whaley cares.
See,
Terry Pegula doesn't care.
Right.
Doug Whaley cares.
And that's good. I mean,
Whaley says, I believe we can drop down, get a pick, and get him at 27.
If I'm the owner, I'd say, do we love the guy? Yes. Okay, then take him at 10. I mean, if I'm the owner and I ultimately get the say, if all of my people are telling me, you know, you're right, the more we look at this kid and we met with him in person and we watched his workout, love everything about him. There's nothing wrong with him. We just can't take him at 10. Why? Well, he's lower on our board. But you love him. Mm-hmm. So let's trade down. Okay, how far? Well, let's go down 17 spots. He'll probably still be. And I know at the time, right, Mahomes was, not everybody was sold on Patrick Mahomes. But what's the point? Why are you evaluating people if you reach a consensus at the most critical position, by the way, on the football field and say, yeah, but just not there?
Well, one thing about that is I wonder if Pegula came away with that learning a lesson. You know, I think the Pegulas are a little bit, they don't want to be seen as meddlesome owners. Like a lot of owners don't want to be.
Right.
For me, I don't mind it at all because you own the team. How do you want to build it? If I don't like how you build it, then I'll go right to you. It doesn't matter to me who is making the decisions.
Yeah.
Tyler's piece talks about how basically that this showed faith in McDermott. You get control. And I get that. It's one of the reasons why, you know, whenever we've talked about McDermott, even before they made the playoffs last year, I would say to you, I think he's the safest coach in the NHL, in the NFL, because the owner believes in him. They have such belief in him, and with some good reason. But there's so much built into this that is, to me, just really, it reveals so much about the draft.
Yeah.
And the quotes in here are incredible. Doug Whaley, to have that guy as our first draft pick, especially at 10, he thought wouldn't send the right message.
Right, that's crazy.
We have enough talent on this team. We can compete right away if we use that first rounder on someone that can contribute this year. And Tre'Davious White's a great player and did contribute that year, and they made the playoffs, right? So Whaley was not necessarily wrong with that. He also goes on to say, the quote here, if Rex were the coach, they would have taken Mahomes.
Oh, I didn't get to that part yet.
Yeah, it's that right when the pick was made, Pegula said aloud that Reed got his Favre.
Yes, yes, like, I saw that part. Yeah,
it's just amazing.
Yeah,
you just wonder a little bit if and if you're the owner, I don't have a problem. Take control of your team. They fired these guys right after anyway.
Well, and you and look at the time. Everybody knew the writing was on the wall for Whaley, right? The minute McDermott was given control, who thought Whaley was sticking around?
And everybody knew the writing was on the wall for Tyrod Taylor. I can remember after that draft, you know, part of the quarterback evaluation, and, you know, I fell into a trap in the 2018 draft, in the Josh Allen trap. I fell into one big trap. It was my own that I laid. Because after that 2017 draft with Mahomes and Watson, I was not banging the drum for either one of those players. I wanted a quarterback. Like, you go get a quarterback. And when they put it off a year, I was mad about putting it off a year. I wasn't going to sit here and say I knew Mahomes was going to be great. I didn't know Watson was going to be great. I liked them both in college. I thought, Trubisky, fine, okay. He looks pretty good. I have no idea who's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much since, you know, we've been on for, what, 16 years now?
Mm-hmm.
For half of that at least, when people ask me in a draft of quarterback year, who do you want? I would say, I have no idea. I don't care. E.J. Manuel's year, I said, I do not care who they take.
Well, because there was nothing really.
Well, it's not even just that. It's, I don't care, I don't know, I don't profess to know who is going to be good.
Right.
And in the 2018 draft with that group of five, I said a lot. I don't know who's going to be good.
Yeah.
But I like this guy and this guy and this guy.
Yeah.
And what you do there is you let your own personal bias come in. I like Josh Rosen because I bought into the idea that he was a really polished pocket passer. I like the Aaron Rodgers comparison. Meanwhile, what do I always – I mean, I say to you a lot, don't make player comparisons. They reveal a bias.
Yeah, I don't do that.
I laid my own traps for myself. What I should have been doing that whole year was say, I don't care who they take, because that's what I'd done every year before that. But, you know, what a year that was to get excited and watch them all and think, who's it going to be? And I liked Baker Mayfield as a college player and thought, man, how fun it would be to have him. And I saw Lamar Jackson rip Syracuse to shreds relentlessly and thought, wow, how great it would be to have him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Darnold I never was interested in, and Allen, when we watched him at Wyoming, looked like this big kid that wasn't that good.
Yeah, you're so scattershot, right.
It's another episode in – you don't have any idea
and it's,
who's going to be good.
And it's not, and that, by the way, continues into the NFL. What's the discussion we had earlier this week? It's hard enough trying to figure out which guy projects out of college. And I liked Rosen. I watched every UCLA game I could that year. And I thought, this is a gutsy kid. He hangs in there. He's a good pocket passer. He's going to make, he takes hits. He's tough. He rallies his team from behind because there was a crap. He played on a crappy team with a lousy defense and a bad offensive line. He went through what? They changed offensive coordinators as frequently as I changed socks. There were a lot of things I liked watching his games. And of course, it turns out I was completely wrong. The guy's done nothing in the NFL. But the one thing but you don't know. Not only do you not know who projects from Oklahoma or USC or Wyoming or Louisville or UCLA, you can get in the league and after 1 year go, oh, guys, man, I wish we had Mayfield. Oh, those Browns are so freaking lucky. Maybe not. Year two. Oh, how did we not take Lamar Jackson? Oh, he was on the board. And year three, hey, Josh is really good. We got our guy. We're set.
Problem solved.
You have no idea.
It's a little bit like winning a championship, making you forget about that heartbreaking loss the year before. Like, eh, whatever. Actually, you know what? We're good with that.
Yeah.
Once you get a quarterback that you feel good about, and I think the Bills feel pretty good, you can kind of laugh it off. And one quick thing, you know, we had a texter write in that this is bull crap, revisionist crap. Okay, let's play that game.
Maybe, but I don't.
Because let's play that game. Because Tyler sources this and has
direct quotes
from Whaley and Manos.
Right. This is not anonymous personnel or unnamed
even if they
front office.
If they were anonymous, you would say, well, they maybe want to make the owner look good.
Right.
And they want to make it look like he has faith in McDermott. Right. Why is Doug Whaley going to say any of that stuff?
Yeah.
Why would he just flat out say, like, I thought I could get Mahomes at 27?
I think that's the part that's different from typical stories where you would come on the air and you would tell me, okay, who are they trying to build up?
Right. Miles and Whaley are flat out saying, we weren't sold on him. We didn't think he was worth that pick.
Yep.
We thought maybe he'd be there at 27.
Oh,
and we were wrong about all of those things. And are they just going to do that to make Terry Pegula look good? I don't think so. I think what Tyler Dunn at golongtd.substack.com, I think he tells a true story.
Yeah.
That there have been plenty of rumblings about for years. Going back to that draft, there was plenty about how maybe the Pegulas really liked Patrick Mahomes, But you don't want to say that. Yeah. You don't want to put that out there. You don't want to undermine your coach. Here's the story now that it feels like it's comfortable to tell it.
Going to get your call here in a second. The only other point I wanted to go back to your point about meddling and owners. And look, I'm more of an opposite than you. I look at it more of an opposite side. I like to believe I hire the people and I let my personnel people, my GM, my coaches run the operations. If I
you do, but you also hire
disagree.
Them, you hire them to enact your vision.
Right, but I guess normally I would lean on the side of okay, I'll trust you.
And, which he did.
And if they aren't good, then I'd just fire them. But what's different here? Okay, sure. There's the perception. It's funny. The perception of whether you're a meddling owner,
it's
only matters if you're winning or losing. He's
100%.
A meddling Sabres owner. He's doing a great job with the Bills. So I don't know how that works. But I will say what's different here, Jeremy, for me with the whole meddling thing. And they did bring up, Pegula in it, didn't want to, overrule McDermott, who he just gave control to. This is different for me because this is not the room wants this player. And the owner says, you're all wrong. Take this player. Like the people he hired to be his football experts, the personnel chief, the GM, all these people are in agreement and are saying to him,
not now.
You're right, Mahomes, just not at 10. Like this is not, we all want the linebacker from what's the matter, you, and the owner says, no, take the quarterback from Texas Tech. They're all saying, you know what? The more we talk to this kid, sir, you're right. He's great.
The other funny part about this is, let's say the Bills take Mahomes. Doug Whaley is made for life as picking the best quarterback in the NFL.
Right. He picked Mahomes, right.
And, it's like it's always, to me, one of the big secrets / lies of the draft is you draft plenty of players. I'm sure there are GMs that have thought, I don't know, but my owner wants him, so we're going to do this.
Yeah.
I don't want to re-sign this guy, but my owner wants him here, so we're going to do this. And your successes or failures, whether they're yours or not, are still tied to you.
803-0550 to join us. Jesse in Buffalo, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning, guys. How are we today?
Good, thank you.
Good, Jesse.
Well, so with the Mahomes thing, I don't think it would have played out the same way as it did for him if he would have drafted his Bills. I feel like with him sitting out that entire year, having to learn the system in just tenfold, and then having a savant Andy Reid and their whole coaching staff to get him on pace, he comes to Buffalo, he's probably not sitting out that whole year. I love our coaching.
Why not? Why can't he sit for a year?
The Bills
have an offensive coordinator in Brian Daboll who looks pretty. I mean, he's not Andy Reid, but I think he's shown he's done a pretty good job with a young quarterback. And why wouldn't Mahomes have just sat for a year?
I don't think we had the luxury of letting him sit for
a year. Well, assuming they would have operated let's keep Tyrod Taylor for 1 year evaluation, they didn't have to play Mahomes at the time.
The difference
unless
might have
they
been
cut Tyrod or
I mean,
traded Tyrod.
They drafted Nathan Peterman instead and sat him and then started him.
Yeah.
The difference might have been that, playing this whole thing out, Mahomes starts in San Diego and never comes out ever again. I mean, we hear this a lot. I think anytime you do this, you try to explain away that the best player in the NFL wouldn't have worked here. And I just think you have to do gymnastics to get there. Why wouldn't it have worked? He's the best.
Yeah, Jesse, I thought that's where you were going to go in terms of the support. Like, not he would he have started right away, but the offensive coordinator here at the time wasn't good. He's gone.
Right. He didn't have the supporting cast.
He didn't have the line. He didn't have
the
right.
Travis Kelce.
Right. It's Kelvin Benjamin.
No Tyreek Hill.
Zay
but
Jones
all those. But even that, anytime you say that, it's up to the Bills to make sure that
better.
There is the support
cast.
It's one of the reasons that when they draft Allen, when they drafted Josh Allen, the plan was to sit him. He went in because Peterman was so historically bad. So to say that they would not have sat Mahomes for a year, I mean, they sat Allen to start.
Yeah, I think, Jesse, right, if you look at – you're still with us, right, Jesse? You're still there?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's say – I mean, even if they started him right away and there I first, there's two things to play here. One, I think if you're that good – you're not going to – I mean, his career would not have been ruined because Rick Dennison was his offensive coordinator in year one, and he would have been playing on – by the way, playing on a Bills team that eventually made the playoffs that year. And I also believe even if – the Bills would have still done the same thing. They could have still said, hey, we got Patrick Mahomes, so we're good at quarterback, but we need to bring in better receivers. We need to bring in better offensive linemen. They still would have dressed. They still might have fired Rick Dennison. I think they still would have realized we have to get better players on the offensive side of the ball. They just would have had the quarterback first instead of addressing so many other spots and then saying we're drafting up or we're going to get the quarterback.
But if we have the quarterback first and not the talent to support that, doesn't that hurt his ability to become the best quarterback in the league?
Not if
but
he's
the
that.
Bills, but the Bills did that. The Bills got the quarterback before they got – the Bills drafted the quarterback the same year they signed
all the offense. They got all the offensive linemen. No, they went and overhauled the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, he was throwing to –
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, Allen came in before all those guys.
He was throwing to Zay Jones and Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bills did – they got a defensive player first and tried to build a defense, but when Allen went in, it was not a good line.
Right,
it was,
after year
I mean,
one.
You had an aging LeSean McCoy. You had no receiving weapons. Who was the tight end on that team? Right?
It was after – Charles Clay was still here, I think.
Charles Clay.
It was after year one when they said, we're signing Morris, we're getting the free agents, we're bringing in Brown, getting Beasley.
Josh Allen had to wait for this supercharged car to be built around him in the form of Diggs and Jones – or Diggs and Brown and Beasley in the revamped offensive line. Yeah. That goes for Mitch Morse, too, right? Dawkins is drafted when? Same year as Allen?
No, prior.
No, the year
prior. Yeah, he was the year before. Yeah.
He's the second-round pick after Trey White. So, I mean, when Allen steps in, it is not a fully formed machine.
Yeah.
No, not 100%, for sure.
No, thanks, Jesse. I think you bring up good points. I love this conversation. I like that we can have it and not be mad about it because Allen's turned into something pretty nice. You
See,
know?
That's why I thought, Jesse, thank you for the call. I thought, and as I said, Tyler Dunn points that out. I think if you ever think about Mahomes here, right, Jeremy, what people will typically say, I cleared it out. What people will say, well, you know what? He's good. I'm not taking anything away from him, but he got Andy Reid. And here he would have gotten, you know, Sean McDermott's not an offensive coach. He would have been with Rick Dennison, and I think David Culley was the quarterback coach at that point. So he would not have gotten the right coaching. And I think he's a phenomenal player. And I think, sure, it's great having Andy Reid. But I don't think, you know, his talent would not have shined through because Sean McDermott was his head coach, Andy Reid.
Right. Andy Reid is a great offensive coach. Is he the only great offensive coach?
Of course not.
I mean, if Patrick Mahomes was playing for Kyle Shanahan, if he's playing for Josh McDaniels, if he's playing for maybe Brian Daboll, I mean, you'd have to be – here's a fun thought exercise. Could Adam Gase ruin Mahomes?
Yes. No, I don't mean to be a jerk, but I bet Mahomes would still be good, but maybe they wouldn't be MVP good. I just have no faith in Adam Gase.
Yes. Yeah, I mean,
I don't think he would ruin
it. If you're going to try and tell me that he wouldn't have been good,
he's still
good. He's only good because of Andy Reid. I mean, okay, is Michael Jordan only good because he played for Phil Jackson? I mean, Phil Jackson brought a lot out of that, of course, and they had a lot of success. But, you know, to me, you might be right. You might be right that – and I think you can talk about this with football a lot, that some quarterback that busted out of the league would have been better if he went somewhere else and got more of a chance. I mean, Allen, we were talking about this – someday earlier this week, if Allen didn't have the ability to run, would he have made it to year three as a passer? Maybe not. Maybe he just doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. Maybe a coach and a team doesn't believe in him. Think about Darnold in this way. Like Darnold's career, they've stripped weapons away from him as his career has gone on. He's been submarined. You know, it's just Mayfield's on his third or fourth offensive coordinator. What Allen has had is continuity there and a really good place. So if you would say that about Mahomes, I guess here's the question you should ask yourself. If you would say that about Mahomes, who is the best, would you say it about Allen? Like, Josh Allen wouldn't be good anywhere else. If you like Allen, you probably wouldn't say that, but you would know that there's a range of outcomes and coming to the Bills and getting the faith in him that they have and building the way they have has been on the higher end of those range of outcomes.
I believe there is an element to, yes, a coach can make a player better or a player can be in a good place or a bad place. I do believe that. But I think when you get to the level of a Mahomes, I think it's much less of an issue. I think Mahomes, it's almost, you're almost protect. I mean, a guy like that is almost, you can't ruin him, you know? Like, yeah. I think he would have been succeeding anywhere. Now, would it have been tougher if he was here, maybe in year one? Sure. If he was with the Jets? Honestly, boy, really, look, if you look at what Mayfield's gone through, throw Rosen out because he's just never played.
But so, look what Rosen has gone through. Rosen played like 3-4 games. His offensive coordinator got fired 4 games into the season.
Right.
And then his coach got fired and he got traded.
Well, then I'll put him in the same group because what happened with Rosen? What happened with with Mayfield, what happened with Darnold is the worst case scenario. But but with Mayfield, at least, what did they do? Well, they promoted a guy who was a good play caller and thought, okay, this is going to be good for our offense.
And he's regressed.
And they got Odell Beckham, and they got Jarvis Landry, and they you know, then they later get Nick Chubb, and they get Kareem Hunt. They did the right, and then they brought in Kevin Stefanski.
But then they decided to make him into a game manager, and now it's kind of it looks like it might be over.
No, seriously, now it's like we're going to run the ball, and Baker don't throw interceptions. But Lamar, you know, in Baltimore, good design of the offense, right? Great job by former Bills offensive coordinator, the guy. Jeremy, help me out. Baltimore offensive coordinator, the guy who was here. Thank you. Good job by Greg Roman. He's put together the offense. He's using the running game first, and he's playing to the strengths of Lamar Jackson. And look, Lamar Jackson in year two, he's a much better pocket passer, and they got a really good defense. And now what the Bills did here with Allen is fantastic, how they built around him. The Jets are a disaster area in terms of what you do with a young quarterback.
But a lot of it, I think, and so much of it is, like one more point here, because Mark texted in a good name. Talk about Justin Herbert for this.
Mm-hmm.
Did not go to the best possible scenario.
Right.
Maybe he did. I mean, that's they've got weapons. Anthony Lynn seems like a decent coach. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. They weren't going to play him. They said he's a backup for a reason. He went into his first game and lit it up.
That's right. Right. Anthony Lynn said when he was asked after the beginning of the season, why don't you guys play Herbert, said that. Like, it was like, we're watching practice. You're not. We know what we're doing.
He said it after he played once.
That's right. Oh, after the first game he came in because Tyrod had the injection problem and everything, right.
That was like the second game. But he came in, he's
– Yep.
Like, think about that. It's just you can never – you can almost never overstate how often football people get it wrong.
They stumble into something that works.
Or they stumble into something.
and then you look back.
I don't mean that like we are always right and they're always wrong. Everybody gets everything wrong. There's a million wrong things. And a lot of football is stumbling into some success. Let's take this guy. And we think he's not good enough to play. What's that? Oh, he's going to throw for 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns? Yeah, we knew it.
Yeah.
the Justin Herbert story this year.
Yeah, he's on the right. He's on pace to set all the rookie passing records this year. All right, we'll get a break. And if you're on hold, hang on. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550 on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
kind of been bittersweet. I'm like, Josh, why can you do that? You know, when I was there last year, we probably win the Super Bowl. You playing the offense, you know,
with that defense
back the way you are doing this year, you know. Yeah. But it's been great. It's been fun to watch. You know, obviously being there when he's young, still young, but just developing, growing into a professional, into a good quarterback, a great dude. And we had a great relationship when I was there. So I'm very happy for his success that he's had. And, you know, they've had some adversity, but he's battled through that and is staying true to what has got him there. And it's really cool to see, especially with all the negative attention he had as a young player coming into this league and really to rise above it and become a leader in that locker room and guys that want to play for him and really sometimes play above probably what they are on paper.
It's former Bill Lorenzo Alexander. We're going to get to a call here in a moment. Got to do some more Thanksgiving Survivor. The Browns have another positive test. They've just announced this morning their facility has been closed temporarily. No identity on who tested positive, but contact tracing is being conducted to identify any potential high-risk close contacts. The team is working remotely. There's also some talk that possibly the Ravens would travel day of game tomorrow. They're supposed to go to Pittsburgh today. They've had a whole bunch of positive tests this week. They might actually travel tomorrow since it's a night game. It's not as big a problem, so we'll keep monitoring that too. Let's get to Spencer in Hamburg. Spencer, you're on WGR. Thanks for holding on. Go right ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yeah, just hanging out, man.
Oh, beautiful. Last Wednesday of the week.
Yeah, and it's the only Wednesday of the week, too, by the way.
You're not going to get another one until next week.
True. That's probably right. I'll check that.
Yeah, fact check. But, I was actually just saying, you know, hindsight's 20/20 always. You know, who knows how Patrick Mahomes would have been if he went somewhere else. I mean, you could go down into the rabbit hole, hey, why didn't the Sabres pick up Nikita Kucherov? Or, you know, or why didn't the Bills pick up Tom Brady? You know, we passed up on him. You could get into a whole thing about that. But, I mean, guys, we got Trey White out of it. Who cares? You know, he's one of the best DBs in the league. So, in the end, that's all I got to say about that. And then second question, do you consider a hot dog a sandwich?
Do I consider a hot dog a sandwich? Jeremy, what are your thoughts on that?
It's an age-old debate.
If it isn't a sandwich, what is it? What is
really
it classified
I don't really
as?
Have a take on it.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
I was thinking about hot dogs yesterday because one thing I thought we could talk about that would be fun would be what – let's say you go over to someone's Thanksgiving dinner. You know, friends invite you over in a regular year.
Yeah.
You walk in. It's kind of like a little bit of a match game here. And you were shocked to see that on their Thanksgiving table they had blank. Hot dogs in buns? I mean, you know, what food would be the strangest food to see on a Thanksgiving table?
Oh, boy. What food would be the strangest? That is fruit?
Fruit salad's definitely a staple.
Yeah, I don't know that there's – it wouldn't necessarily be pasta, right? It wouldn't be like pizza and wings. You'd be like, I always like pizza and wings. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Anything other than turkey, I'd be like, huh? But shocked?
Right. No turkey, but like another meat that's famous for something else, like ham.
Ham
is
for Christmas.
Christmas
like, that's
food.
Our Christmas meal.
And you're not going to have turkey at Thanksgiving, but you're going to have ham.
Yeah, I don't know what would shock me. That's a good question. Meatloaf? I don't know why that came into my head. What's your answer? I don't really have nothing.
I don't really
to
have
mind.
One. Part of the point is I think anything goes at Thanksgiving.
Well, I would honestly, I don't know if I'd actually say something to who invited me, but look, if there's not turkey on the table, I would at least turn to my wife and go, do they know it's Thanksgiving? I'd be expecting a turkey. I would be expecting nothing other than, all right, we got to wrap because we have to finish Thanksgiving Survivor. So we'll get a break in and we'll do that. And Instigators is coming up at the top of the hour on WGR.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Nintendo Sports.
We're going to do this fast. We're going to get it to a Final Four and then put it to Twitter, right?
I'm ready.
All right. I'm going to vote out the Lions game. There's no football.
All right, sir. Let's see. What am I voting? I know this is supposed to be fast. I hate this stuff. Let's go patio heaters.
Fair enough. You like to be cold out there. I get it.
I like fresh air. Yeah, you know. Sorry. I'll be indoors. I know it's not a year to do that, but. Brayton?
I will go with stovetop stuffing.
Stovetop stuffing's out. I'm up.
I like stuffing, but I get that. Okay.
I'm voting out sweet potatoes.
That's fine.
All right, sir.
I can go without sweet potatoes for Thanksgiving.
I can't vote out dessert pies. All right, mashed potatoes, you're gone.
Oh, man.
On
there
brand.
It is.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Of course.
I had to do something to make somebody angry.
Is that,
right. Oh, wow. Stuffing is gone and sweet potatoes are gone.
Yeah,
now we got no
turkey,
potato.
Turkey, pumpkin pie, dessert pies, Zoom calls, beer and wine.
Okay. I'll vote off wine.
Wine.
Not a necessity. I think, you know, I think beer is the drink of choice for Thanksgiving all the time. But so we got to vote off one more before we put it to a vote. Do we want to just go random.org here for the final pick?
No.
I've got it ready to go here.
I want to all come to a decision which of these final five doesn't make the final four. Turkey, pumpkin pie, dessert pies, Zoom calls, and beer. I would have voted off beer and kept wine. Thanksgiving is a little bit more of a whiny holiday to me.
All right.
But that's okay. I'm not worried.
I would tell you, me personally, I will take one for the team. You have to have some kind of pie. So if you want to keep pumpkin and vote off dessert, I would do the opposite.
See, I'd go the opposite.
I would do the opposite, but I figured you two would prefer pumpkin. You got to keep some kind of pie in the final four. So vote one of those two off.
I agree. One of those two pies should go, and the final four will be beer, Zoom calls, turkey, and one of our pies.
And pumpkin pie is like a staple of Thanksgiving.
That's why I thought we would vote the dessert pies.
That would be
pies
my
off.
Vote to vote off dessert level pies, and then
that's fine. I'm not going to argue that. It's fine if that's what you guys.
We had a gross oversight. We should have put pecan pie in here somewhere.
Oh,
I mean, that is dessert pie.
Yeah, that is.
That's pecan.
Yeah.
Which is the best pie?
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't agree with that much.
I've got my chocolate French silk pie sitting in the freezer at home waiting to be thawed. So dessert pies are out, right? We're going.
I don't know. What are you two voting?
I'm voting out dessert
pie. I would vote dessert pies out because I think pumpkin pie is important for Thanksgiving. Which would leave turkey,
gobble, gobble, yeah.
Pumpkin pie, last Zoom calls, and beer.
All right, that's easy. We'll get rid of dessert pies just because it's hard to describe. People will be trying to answer on the poll, like, what counts as a dessert pie?
Right, exactly.
And I don't want to, you know.
Hey, listen, my wife just texted me. Can we throw off two more items so I don't have to pick them up today?
What's that?
Celery and chopped onion. Can we vote them off? And I text her back and say,
like
don't worry.
Things.
Don't worry, dear. I don't have to pick them up. We voted them off.
They never made the field.
Yeah, so I'm good with that. I'm telling her, Jeremy and Brayton said I don't have to get these.
Very fair.
Fair enough. Jeremy, have a wonderful Thanksgiving, you and your family.
You too.
And I'll talk to you Friday. Brayton, have a great time.
I'm actually working Friday. I usually take the Friday off.
Yeah, we're going to take Friday off.
Nah, I'm working from home. What am I going to do?
Oh, good point.
Usually it's because we have somewhere to go, or
we
have a late night, or we had a big dinner, and we got to clean up, or we have people staying. Instead, I'm just going to, I'll just be here.
Happy Thanksgiving to both of you guys.
You too, Brayton, and everybody, and all of our listeners, obviously, have a safe, happy Thanksgiving, whatever it is this year. Make the best of it, and we'll talk to you Friday morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.